Hi, welcome to Bookie. Today, we will unlock the book, Me, Myself, and Us, The Science of Personality and the Art of Well-Being. Have you often identified yourself as one type of personality, and thereby formed beliefs about your own ability around these specific labels? In real life, we are so used to categorizing ourselves as having certain personality traits that we even put them in our resumes. These labels may come from others' opinions of you or your own impression of yourself. You may have even collected them from personality tests and horoscopes. No matter where these labels come from, they invariably restrict you to a certain lifestyle. However, in Me, Myself, and Us, Brian Little tells us that personality is not immutable. During his stint at Harvard, Little started the most popular personality psychology course on campus. Students adored him and regarded him as one of the best professors at the university. He was particularly lauded for his laid-back and humorous teaching style. Almost all students who attended his class were impressed by his contagiously enthusiastic, outgoing personality and his terrific sense of humor. However, no one suspected that Little is in fact a very private person. He likes to be alone and often shies away from small talk. Before giving a lecture, he would even hide in the most secluded restroom stall and put his feet up to avoid being recognized. To him, talking to people outside of the lecture hall was an extremely nerve-wracking experience. Little showed such disparate behaviors because he adopted a different personality according to his job's needs. To be able to teach more effectively, he turned himself into an extrovert and suppressed his introverted self until after the class was finished. From this experience, Little realized that one's personality is not entirely set in plaster. As he put it, everyone is capable of changing his or her personality. The only things that can define us are not some kind of personality traits but our priorities in life. Next, let us delve into the content of the book in three parts. Part 1, You Are Your Personal Constructs. Part 2, Your Personality is Mutable. Part 3, Three Tenets of Well-Being. The ways in which you normally judge yourself and others are called your personal constructs. In life, we are accustomed to making all sorts of assumptions about others. We can construct a story about a stranger with very little information at hand. Imagine that while on your way to work, a lady on the escalator rushed by and accidentally bumped into you. What would you think of her? You, like many other people, may instinctively label her as an impatient person, instead of reasoning that she was quite possibly just in a hurry. We do that because we tend to attribute others' behaviors to their personalities, but blame ours on external circumstances. Therefore, although most of us think that we are objective and fair when we form our first impressions of others, these impressions are often skewed by our unconscious bias. The labels that we put on others stem from our own personal constructs. We not only use them to describe strangers, but we also use them on ourselves, our family, our colleagues, and even our neighbor's dog. We categorize them as having certain types of personalities based on how we perceive their behaviors. If your personal constructs are limited, you will likely form one-sided opinions of others. Let's return to the scenario we just mentioned. Suppose you met the lady again and she immediately apologized to you, explaining that she didn't have time to apologize because she was in a rush. Now, if your personal constructs consist merely of impatient, not impatient, your opinion of her would likely change to not impatient. You have seemingly corrected your biased view of her, but in fact, your opinion still revolves around your core construct of impatient, not impatient. There is no other possibility apart from these two opposing labels. If the lady bumped into you a second time, you would likely label her as impatient again. On the other hand, if you have a more diverse set of personal constructs, you will be able to view the lady from multiple different perspectives. You may add polite to your description of her, and continue to add more labels and corrections as you get to know her better. Gradually, you will be able to form a more objective and honest opinion about her. Apart from affecting how we perceive others and the world at large, personal constructs also affect our perception and understanding of ourselves. To an extent, how diverse our personal constructs are decides how freely we can shape our lives. There was a student named Gerald in Little's class. Unlike most other students who possessed various personal constructs, Gerald's personal constructs revolve around one particular core dash, in the army or not in the army. He never failed to wear a cadet military uniform on campus and acted like a soldier. Instead of walking into class, he marched in. He didn't care about the looks and snickers thrown at him by other students, would sit bolt upright throughout Little's lectures, and took copious notes. That was his core, to be in the army. He was so fixated on the idea that he was resistant to any possible changes. One day, Little found out that Gerald had dropped out of university and had been hospitalized. It later emerged that he had been discharged from his officer training program for some disciplinary reason. Since being not in the army was something unimaginable to his core self-construct, he developed an acute anxiety disorder and was admitted to the psychiatric ward. From the perspective of personal constructs, Gerald experienced a meltdown because his personal construct was too restricted. When it was invalidated, he simply fell apart. Had he been able to invoke other constructs such as hardworking and empathetic, he would have seen himself in a different light and would have been less anxious. All in all, the more diverse our set of personal constructs is, the more objective we will be when judging others, and the more diverse the world will seem to us. On the other hand, if we have limited personal constructs, we will find it hard to adopt new constructs with which to view ourselves and others objectively. An apt analogy would be a car stuck in the snow. The more one tries to drive the vehicle back and forth, the deeper it will sink. That concludes the content for part 1. We now understand the key role that personal constructs play in our judgment of others and ourselves. We can only observe others more objectively, understand ourselves more deeply, and keep anxiety at bay by having a diverse set of personal constructs. That being said, how can we free ourselves from faulty or limited personal constructs in order to see oneself and others through a more comprehensive lens? Let's now look at how our personality can help us gain perspective on this issue.